For a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
He was born in a stable, his mother a virgin, raised in a carpenter shop. His people were slaves, his family was poor, his friends were a lonely lot. His chances in life were very slim, he's expected to be a slave. The people in darkness saw light in him, a hope of freedom he gave. All of the power in heaven and earth God has invested in him. He's to die on the cross, descend into hell, meet the devil, take the keys from him. He yielded himself to the death of the cross, said it's finished, and slumped to die. In the regions of hell, the devil celebrated, we've destroyed the king, they cried. In the midst of the celebration, footsteps were heard, walking through the corridors of hell. Then the shouting stopped, a voice rang out, a voice that rang like a bell. Satan then trembled as he recognized him who came to deliver his own. Shut and lock the gates, he cried, don't let him ascend to his throne. Then the gates swung shut in the face of the king to prove his commission untrue. But he shook hell's gates and cried, lift up your heads, the king is coming through. Then out of the devil's prison house came a procession led by the king, shouting, grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? King of glory, the Lord God mighty in battle is he. Who is the King of glory, the master of the hosts of heaven, so free? Who is the King of glory, the one that could not stop? Who is the King of glory, the little boy from the carpenter's shop, the little boy from the carpenter's shop, the little boy from the carpenter's shop?
Over the years as a pastor, I have discovered the importance of preaching the gospel, regardless what message you bring forth. Every message that I preach, I try to bring, make sure that people understand the way into the kingdom, which comes by placing your trust and faith in the finished work of the cross, where Jesus shed his blood for you. When it comes to doctrine, one thing we have to understand, we better know what we're talking about, and we don't want to move away from the Word of God, because the Word of God is always sure, and you can always relax in it or hide in it or behind it. I have seen some interesting stuff happening on TV. Phil Donahue, a yesteryear TV anchor or programmer, he was interviewing a woman evangelist. And she had incredible insight in the Word of God. And finally, in frustration, he said, "Why do you always hide behind your Bible?" And the lady said to him, "There is no other book on this earth where you can hide behind like the Bible. It is a good place to hide." Yes, that's what I say. I love to hide behind the Bible. The Bible teaches us love covers a multitude of sin. And the Bible is full of love, and those who turn to Jesus will never ever experience the wrath of God, regardless how bad they were, and even if they fall into sin now. I'm not condoning sin, but once a person becomes born again by the Spirit of God, he then is free from God's judgment. So the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if a person wants to stand on solid ground, he has to study the word to show himself that God approves of him. And once he starts to understand that and see that, he can take risks for God. He can step out and do mighty exploits. So today I will teach on a message where I will bring forth scripture that'll show you very clearly what the Word of God means by salvation. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open our hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand and so that we can explain it to others. We thank you, Lord, for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last program, I was teaching that once a person becomes born again, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we don't see him as a natural person anymore. We see him as a pure, holy, sealed unto the day of redemption, a complete different creation in Christ Jesus. We don't see his sinful nature, and we don't see his shortcomings. This is what the Bible teaches us through the Apostle Paul, by him saying, "I know no man after the flesh." I don't see them in a physical way. I see them as spiritual and being cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something people have to understand. When it comes to the doctrines of God, anything in the Bible can be abused by somebody. And then the people throw it away. Like, there's people out there who will abuse the doctrines of Scripture.
There are pastors out there who will get into some doctrine, let's say the doctrine of healing or speaking in tongues, teaching on that, and then somehow he will do something wrong, and then people who listen to him will throw him aside. They throw out the baby with the water. And that's the problem. And once you do that, you then have the tendency to look critical on anything that is preached from the Bible. You need to understand that human beings are failures, and regardless how good they will preach, they will fail in some things. So today I will be teaching on assurance of salvation. We'll start a series of different subjects. That's why I start out by saying, study to show yourself that you are approved of God. God wants to show you by his word. You don't have to listen to another person who may fail you later on, but you study it so it becomes a revelation of your heart. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, it tells us, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So, here is a promise for the Christian. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are incredible, regardless what avenue you take. If you seek the face of God on whatever avenue you walk into, God will open your heart and your mind to revelations that will astonish other people, and they may not even understand you and maybe even think you're a little off base. But that's okay. God wants to show you things that are for you, and you need to sometimes stay quiet. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So look how simple this doctrine is. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you trusted him. And when you heard that word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, this is a word that tells us that we cannot fall away anymore, because once we're sealed, we are sealed. We are in Christ Jesus. This is what I call hiding behind the Bible. It's the Bible that teaches us that, and not we ourselves. So it's not me making it up. It's the Word of God that teaches us. So we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 9, it tells us, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" He will show us greatness. His power towards us is going to be worked out through us. What is that power? It's God showing you the incredible grace of God, the incredible powers of God, the incredible beauty of God, his favor towards the human race, the love that he has towards you and your family and to those around you. You do not have to dig very deep to find these incredible scriptures. Again, I'm hiding behind the scripture. It says that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. So just because somebody doesn't agree with you That doesn't mean you're wrong, because it's your eyes that were enlightened. It's you that had the revelation. So again, you can hide behind the word of God, because it tells you very clear that your eyes of understanding being enlightened. And if the other person doesn't see it, it simply means that his eyes are still shut to what God has shown you. That's how incredible scriptures are. In Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 5, it tells us in verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. That means he has made us alive. By grace are you saved. And now listen to this. He has raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I know no man after the flesh, because he is not a person of this world anymore. He is sitting in heavenly places. He has been removed by the Spirit of God. Yes, his physical body is still here, but his right place is in heaven. In the physical realm and in our soulish realm, and even like when we look at ourselves, we're still here on this earth. But as far as God is concerned, you have been transported. You have been transformed. You have been made a new creation. Now you are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your spirit is totally connected to God. You are sitting with him. The Apostle Paul says, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. So if God gives you this revelation, you do not have to worry about the problems that are going to come, because they are going to pass away. You are not here on this earth. You are seated in heavenly places. And I got no good news for you, for those of you who are skeptical. One of these days, it'll happen physical, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Then we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Even though our spirit is connected to Christ in heavenly places now, it's still here on earth. We still have to suffer the problems and the things that are happening. But in reality, as far as God is concerned, we are with him. And one of these days, it'll simply come to fruition. So we need to open our hearts and our eyes to that. God wants us to see that this day is coming when he will come back for his bride. And it'll be very, very quickly. The Bible teaches us it'll be over in a twinkling of an eye. Then it'll be too late for repentance. We need to understand that Jesus is coming back for his bride. And then comes the judgment seat of Christ. This is why I say we love one another. Even though we don't understand him, if there's an apostle out there or a prophet, and our attitude towards them is sarcasm, one of these days we will stand with him in heaven, and he'll have his credentials written on him, and we may be very embarrassed by the way our attitude was towards him while on earth. So we need to love the brethren, even though we don't understand them. We have to be like Paul. We don't see them in the flesh. We see them as sitting in heavenly places, already in the portals of glory. So we need to open our hearts and eyes to these interesting truths. Jesus Christ is about to come back for a bride, and he wants to come back for a bride that is joyful, that is looking with anticipation to his coming, and not being completely trodden down by the enemy and the world. For then, it's not going to be much fun to face our Lord, because we will be embarrassed. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Make you a blessing. Jesus is coming back. Turn your life and heart to him, for he is willing that none perish. And if you study the word, you will find out how much he loves you. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. He is watching. I feel the rain, I hear the thunder as he cries for me. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. Grace will lead to where I'm free. I take his hand, we walk together. His light shines on me. Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow, following his footsteps there. Every mountain, every ocean hears my every prayer. Forsake me when I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me when I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, I'm who I'm supposed to be.
Over the last few days, I've been studying different cults, religious cults who call themselves Christian on the internet. And it's so heartbreaking to hear the testimony of the people that come out from these incredibly closed-off religious organizations. And it's heart-wrenching to hear their testimony as they talk about growing up in those cults. And I could identify with them. I grew up in a religious cult. My upbringing was not bad. I enjoyed a lot of the things that we were doing because we had a lot of place to play and a lot of things to do. But when it came to the things of God, that's where those religious organizations failed. Church in all of those religious cults is the biggest thing to attend. This is where they brainwash the people day after day, week after week, reading from books that were written by people who weren't even Christian, as far as I could see. And then they would make the laws and follow them to the T, and woe unto those who went against the establishment. The tear-filled eyes of those who afterwards bring their testimony to the front. Some of these people were still young and very bitter against these religious organizations, because those religious organizations, they strip them of every self-respect that a person can have. Because if you do not fit in to the number or into the cult organization, then you're shunned by everyone. And it's hard for a person when he is shunned, because then he cannot go and visit his father and mother and all of these relatives that he grew up with. Thus, they have to make it alone in life and find new friends. and hopefully they'll turn to Jesus. A lot of them seem so hurt that Christianity was the farthest thing from their mind that they would go and search out. So we need to preach the gospel. We need to let people know that Christianity is not some religious organization. Christianity is not a religious cult. Christianity is not something that you have to listen to a person who sets down a rule in a stringent way and woe to you if you don't follow the rules. Christianity is a loving relationship with the Creator of the universe. And we have to understand that we were all dead in trespasses and sin. We were all born separated from the grace of God. Even though God kept us, He keeps us till we make that decision for Him. And for those who make that decision for Him, they never ever regret it, because then their heart and minds open up to the incredible love of the Savior. He's not some religious tyrant that rules and regulates and tries to have the rule over you. He allows you to follow Him as you want. He will never ever turn against you and simply shut you down because you were disobedient. He's a God of love and generosity and compassion. In Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8, it tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship." I want you to listen to this. Once we're saved by grace through faith, we then are His workmanship. God made us into something new. We became a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God allows us to walk as we want to walk. He will never force us or push us. Christianity is total voluntary. There is no law there. There is nobody there to oversee you, to try to force you to walk a certain way. You can walk with God the way that the Lord leads you. So open your heart to the truth of Scripture. Study and show yourself that you're approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.